Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the third episode of the Triple Jump podcast. I'm Ben Potter. I said my whole name, and you didn't know what to do with that, did you?
That really threw me off.
I'm Benjamin Potter.
I'm normally the syllable that comes after Ben is I'm rather than Pot.
God, I threw off the whole equilibrium.
The equilibrium. I've been de-equilibrialized.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Peter.
That's how it should sound. I'm Ben Potter.
And I'm Peter Austin.
That's how it could sound if we were more professional.
Could do middle names as well.
Rather not.
Okay.
Just for security reasons.
All right.
You know, just in case.
Margaret. Ben Margaret Potter. He's just embarrassed, that's why.
Yeah. Well, not everyone can have the middle name Maximus Steel Big Balls.
Well, yeah.
Peter Maximus Steel Big Balls Austin over here.
Middle name singular as well. That's all
it's
one
It's all
word.
Hyphenated.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous how your parents got away with that. This is a video game podcast. I feel like we have to clarify that at the beginning of every single episode.
Well, especially after all that drivel.
Yeah, nothing to do with games so far. But we're going to get into games very shortly. I would like to stress before we move any further that we are still working on getting on iTunes. So far... We don't have a great track record of this podcast being anything other than .mp4, but we will soon be coming to iTunes and hopefully Spotify and all the other places you guys want us to be, but we'll let you know.
It's not our fault, to be fair. We've basically requested to be part of the service that we use here at Cultaholic/Triple Jump, and we're just waiting to hear back.
Yeah, not from Adam. He's obviously in there. We could talk to him at any point about it, but Adam's waiting to hear back from them. So it's out of our hands at the moment, but soon we will be available in MP3 form. Before we get started proper, Peter.
Yeah.
Did you know that we got affiliated on Twitch this week?
I did know that, yeah.
Isn't
I was there.
News? You were there. I was streaming. It was a big surprise when people started subscribing.
I was in the chat.
It was really confusing. So we've now streamed for the prerequisite amount of hours.
We have.
To be allowed to be affiliate, which means that you can subscribe to us on Twitch. And I believe that nets you exclusive emotes, which are pending approval at the moment by Twitch.
You get all kinds of things. You get a little Billy Ray next to your name in the chat. You can give us bits if you want to.
Bits. Yeah.
And so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So please do consider doing that. Twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump. And you can also use your free Amazon Prime sub as well. Look through our Twitter. There's instructions on how to do that. If you've got Amazon Prime, you get a free sub. Consider chucking that to us. We'd really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Peter, we go to some questions. These are submitted exclusively by our wonderful patrons, patreon.com/Team Triple Jump. And the first one is from Richard King.
Thank you.
No, don't. Because I've thought about it too. Let's not. No. What does Richard King say?
Richard King says the following. What are your thoughts on games using advertising as a way to generate income rather than making the player pay for microtransactions? So, for example, an open world game having billboards for real life products, similar to how Football Manager uses its advertising hoardings for adverts. Could be overused but limited. Could it add to immersion?
That's an interesting question.
It is.
Because games have done it before. Games like Crazy Taxi in particular is a real landmark one. You could find Pizza Hut's, KFC's, Fila outlet. Do you pronounce it Fila or is it Fila?
I don't think I've ever said it out loud. So
F-I-L-A.
Yeah.
And Tower Records.
Choo-choo.
My goodness.
Does that ever come up in the... I don't know if we've...
I usually just boost the audio levels, but it does come through pretty clearly. There's a train there. Games are already doing it and have done it. It doesn't happen so much anymore. I'm assuming partially because it is rife for abuse. Like, I would understand a game that's set in an open world city, maybe like GTA, doing it, but then would brands want to be associated with people potentially committing murders inside a KFC in Grand Theft Auto?
Like, having an actual KFC in which you can walk in with an assault rifle is probably not a good image.
Yeah.
But I don't mind seeing it on billboards, whether or not it's GTA or even if it's like a racing game and you're driving around, there's billboards there. Like Burnout did it. Burnout Paradise, didn't it?
It did. I love this one.
I mean, the difference there is that that was for the Obama. Well, I think they did more than this, but one of the things they were advertising was the Obama campaign.
Yeah, the Obama took out actual adverts in Burnout Paradise on some of the billboards.
Now, that's a bit more, I don't know. I think you have to sort of question. That's political as well as like just, oh, we've sold some advertising space. That's
Although
like,
apparently John McCain was offered a similar deal, but he said no.
And then they got patched out of the game after the election was over. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
So that's a little bit more like, okay, I mean, you know, I'm pro-Obama. I'm not against the fact that they did it. I'm pro-Obama. But I just think it's a bit strange kind of pushing a political agenda.
Yeah, I think that's where things get a bit dicey. I feel like it would have to make sense within the game world, which is why Crazy Taxis were... There were a lot of them, but it kind of made sense.
You're in a big city and there's advertising everywhere. It's very realistic.
Or just an actual KFC there.
I'll tell you one that doesn't make sense within the game world is in Mario Kart 8 when you could download a Mercedes-Benz.
That was weird.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And at the same time, Mercedes were running adverts with live-action Mario characters just sort of standing in front of Mercedes cars.
It doesn't help that the Mercedes-Benz also look like one of those toy cars
that
children
like a
drive
little,
around in.
You're sort of sticking out of the roof of the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a little go-kart.
And then there's like a kind of middle ground where they think they're trying to make it fit into the world because technically it's in the correct context, but it's also definitely not okay, such as Alan Wake with the battery ads. Are you aware of this?
Yeah, I've heard
you could actually sit and watch an advert play on a TV for some American brand. I don't even know which
Is
one it
Duracell
was.
Or something?
No, it wasn't Duracell.
Energizer?
It might have been Energizer. Yeah. But, you know, so they're kind of saying, oh, look, it's context relevant because it's on a TV screen, so it's fine.
But it's the only real thing in the game. It's just
really
an advert
strange
for batteries. That's the thing. If it's going to be done, it has to be done properly within the, you know, making sense within the context of the world and the game.
Yeah.
But I also have these horrible sort of visions in my head of EA cottoning onto this.
Right.
And every square inch of the next Battlefield game is covered in just sponsorship, and they just find another way to squeeze every last penny out of the consumer. I don't mind it. I don't mind it in games like Crazy Taxi. I didn't even mind Hooters being in Modern Warfare 2 very briefly.
Yeah.
But I do draw the line at huge. I mean, I know Activision is a huge company, obviously, but I do draw the line at Energizer adverts in a game for no reason.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just very transparent. You see Bond using a Sony Vaio laptop, and you're like, I don't think Bond would choose that laptop because that laptop is ridiculous.
You don't buy one off the shelf when you work for
MI6.
Yeah. No, you don't. MI5, whatever he is. No.
Yeah.
You get one from Q Branch that doesn't say Sony on the back of it, but.
Yeah, and he's wearing all these, you know, these Rolexes, all this branded stuff, which some of it makes sense. But when he starts using technology where you're like, I could buy that.
Yeah.
I could go to the shops right now and be, oh my God, that's what they want you to think, isn't it?
Yeah, you could be Bond.
I could be Bond.
Wow.
I mean, I couldn't. I can't afford all those things. And my knees hurt when I sit down. But, you know, the point is I could buy the same things that Bond has.
Yeah. I think the one thing that I do find it's too amusing to be annoyed by it in terms of brand deals is when an entire game like centered around some sort of brand comes out, such as Pepsi Man or those Burger King adverts.
Sneak King.
Sneak King. I mean, that's not product placement. That's, hey, just so you know, this is an advert in game form, but if you want to play it, then go for it.
Yeah.
And that's okay because they're not trying to be sneaky about it.
Very good. This is a game that we made. But could be overused, but limited. Could it add to immersion? I really do think it could add to immersion in the right ways. Like,
it's fine on
they
FIFA.
They have to be... Yeah, it's fine. I mean, that's just like real life,
that
isn't
makes it? Sense.
With all the
if
banner
there,
ads all the way around.
It would be weird if it
nobody
wasn't
had sponsorships on their shirts and stuff. That'd be like Pro Evo, basically.
Yeah.
You know, it would make sense in certain games. I am worried, though, if, for example, SimCity adopted it.
Mm.
Brands have to be flexible about what you are and what you aren't able to do. So if you, for example, play SimCity and you get the choice of opening, a fast food branch,
right,
and you get the choice between McDonald's and Burger King, are they going to have exactly the same weightings in terms of what they bring to your city,
or is
one going to be ranked
better?
Are you allowed to have it burned down in a natural disaster? Like what? That's probably why we don't see so much of it. Is because they're really, you know, brands want to protect themselves.
Yeah, well,
and just like the GTA example, they don't want you to walk into a KFC with an assault rifle.
Exactly,
because it doesn't look good for
them. Well, the developer just comes up with like some alternative, like, you know, McArches or like Burger yes. Burger Duke or whatever.
Yeah, I love Burger Duke.
Yeah, Patty Queen. Queen Patty. I did you play there was a Rugrats game on PS1, Search for Reptar, where at the end you get to play as Reptar, like smashing the city up like a kaiju.
Okay.
And the game was made by THQ. And the THQ office is there. It's like a banner on one of the buildings. And if you smash it up, there's this guy like commentating what Reptar is doing, I guess like a newscaster.
Right.
And he goes, "The THQ building has been reduced to rubble. Thank goodness everyone was at lunch." It's quite good.
Yeah, that's nice.
Insomniac put themselves in Spider-Man, didn't they?
They did, but you can't like make Rhino run into it and destroy the whole thing.
You can't smash it up.
It's context sensitive, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it only remains to be seen if more brands decide to do that, or if EA finds, or another big publisher finds a way of just ruining it.
Yeah.
But I'm generally on board with the idea. I don't mind.
Especially if it does sort of reduce microtransactions. Yeah. I think they'd probably just leave the microtransactions in as a general
rule. You've got to make as much money as possible.
But if it did, I mean, I would probably rather have product placement. Well, I don't know. Again, it's all context, isn't it? But
yeah. There you go. Peter.
Yeah.
It's time for our groundbreaking segment, not repeated by anyone else anywhere on the internet, completely unthought of before us.
Yeah.
It's time for What We Playing.
What we playing. What are we playing? Ben, what are you playing at the moment?
What I playing? Yeah. I'll tell you what I playing, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
I finished off Metro last night.
Oh, yeah.
And on the whole, my experience with Metro is mixed to good.
Right.
I think I enjoyed myself. And I only say I think because previous Metro games were set in the Metro.
Okay.
And this one begins in our Metro, but then opens up, as we discussed last week.
Right.
It opens right on up and you can explore various areas and things, and then you get back on the train and head off into the sunset.
Woot woot.
Sorry?
That's woot woot. That's the train.
Woot woot. That's the sound of the train.
Yeah.
And the end... there are various points throughout the game where it does throw the spooks at you, where you go down into spooky dark bits on your own, and you've only got your torch, and your torch goes out, and then there are scripted bits where monsters jump out and things, and there's lots of tension.
And you're not a big spook fan.
Not a huge spook fan personally, but you know, I can deal with it now. I'm a lot braver than I used to be.
Okay.
The last an hour and a half to 2 hours of this game, it chucks you into an abandoned hospital, or it chucks you onto the outskirts of an abandoned hospital and makes you succumb to very severe radiation poisoning to the extent that you hallucinate.
Right.
And then just puts you in this hospital for 2 hours. And it is exhausting, not because it's creepy, which it is, it's not exhausting because it's creepy. It's just because there's no relaxing.
Right.
And it's just like the whole thing is just, I want it to be over. And then that's the end of the game. It's like, what a weird way to end the game after you've been open for almost the entire thing. And then it funnels you through this tense and fraught hospital
that
for 2 hours. And by the end, I just thought this could have ended an hour ago and I would have been absolutely fine with that. This did not need to go on for as long as it did.
And you weren't dilly-dallying. It is like probably about 2 hours.
There's
like
not much to find in there. The only enemies you encounter are like irradiated baboons, I think. I don't know what they were meant to be or why they were in a hospital, but it was very strange.
Okay. Maybe it's like 28 days later where the disease came from chimps all along.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's not a spoiler. That happens in the very first scene.
Okay. I'm worried what I said was a spoiler.
Oh.
I don't know. But anyway.
Well, it's too late now.
The last bit is just, it just goes on for ages and ages and ages.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely exhausting.
Hmm.
And then it just sort of ends.
You sound exhausted.
It was really
tiring.
You sound
really exhausted.
I wanted it. I was so ready for it to be over. Mm-hmm. I thought I've had a nice fun romp through the Russian countryside and place.
Yeah.
And then it just wouldn't end, and made me feel a bit sad.
It is a little bit like being on the metro. You know, sort of when you first sit down, you're like, I'm on my way. This is good. We're going to where we want to be,
and then
into town. And then, you know, if you're heading out to sort of Tynemouth to the seaside.
Yeah, sure.
You know, that's a half hour trip from the centre of Newcastle.
Yeah.
By the time you're on that train for 15 minutes, you're like, I want to be there.
Yeah.
Why for this last bit of the journey have they just stuck me on this boring linear 2 hour segment with irradiated baboons?
Exactly. This train could have arrived at Tynemouth an hour ago.
Yeah.
And I would have been fine with it.
Mm.
So yeah, that was that. Metro, I think I can honestly say it did disappoint me personally.
It did disappoint you.
Yeah. I expected a lot more. I still enjoyed my time with it, but it didn't quite blow me away the same way that Last Light, the previous game, did.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I have just started playing Tales from the Borderlands on PS3. I'm a huge Borderlands fan. I'm a big Telltale Games fan. And I of course, played Tales from the Borderlands when it came out on PS4. But I had a bit of extra credit, and I thought, I'll get it on PS3 as well. Yeah, play it through for some more trophies, and because it's been ages since I played it. But it has all kinds of game-breaking bugs on PS3.
Oh, no.
And I've spoken to you about this before. At the end of the first section, on my PS3, it just froze.
Yeah.
And I deleted my save data and restarted it 3 times, and every time it would get stuck in the same place. I've now deleted the entire thing and re-downloaded it, and I'm happy to say I am able to play it now.
Oh, is it working now?
It's working now. I don't know what was happening.
God.
But that's it. That's what I'd be playing.
There's, you know, on, this is a bit of a tangent, but you know, they've just brought out a version of Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy on Nintendo Switch. You might not even be aware of that.
No,
it was a fairly obscure PS2 game, and it's now been sort of remastered or remastered, I think, for Switch. There was a game-breaking bug on that where if you save the game in this certain room, when it like loads back out of the menu, the door has closed, and
right.
That's it. And you're just stuck in this room forever. And if you've just saved over your file,
that's it.
You just can't get any further.
You're done.
And people used to get really confused, and they would be like backtracking through like the rest of the level, but the door that's supposed to go through is just permanently sealed, and it's just a bug.
That's not good.
And you couldn't patch it back then because it was PS2. So
similar thing happened to me in Metro a couple of times, actually, where I did have to reload a save.
Right.
Where I got, last night, for example, I got hit while holding down square to interact with a gap I had to squeeze through.
Yeah.
And I got hit, which interrupted the animation, and then I had no prompt anymore to go through it. I also got stuck in a car, and I wasn't allowed out because there was no button prompt to leave, and all the buttons weren't working, so I had to reload again. And even then, there was no button prompt, but I kept hitting buttons until I got out.
So you said last week that you're having issues with the car.
Oh, the car.
And since you've said that to me, I've seen various clips on the internet of the car just
not behaving
itself.
Doing
all kinds of things.
Yeah, it's something.
That's a shame.
Anyway, Peter, what you be playing?
Well, talking of PS2, I've played a game that I've owned for a long time and never properly played on the PS2.
What's that?
It's called I don't even know how to say it out loud because I've not got far enough in the game for them to say one of the words that's written on the title.
Yeah.
It's either the Mark of Cry or the Mark of Cree. It's K-R-I. Oh,
okay.
I'm guessing Cry.
Hmm.
But who's to say?
Not me.
I'll find out later. So I had this on a demo disc back in like 2001 or something.
Yeah.
And thought, oh, this looks fun. Never ended up getting it. Saw it in a shop recently. Bought it. And I am really enjoying it.
Ah.
It's interestingly stylized. It's a bit like, what's that? I don't even know if it's Disney, Pixar, or if it's DreamWorks. But there's a movie that came out recently that I think is set on like Hawaii or Madagascar or some sort of subtropical island.
Okay.
It's called like...
Moana?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Disney.
Disney,
it's
is
Pixar,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Pixar. I've not seen it.
It's excellent.
But I've seen like the trailer and stuff. And you know how they're slightly like...
Yeah, they're all sort of...
Weirdly stocky.
Yeah.
And they have quite small heads.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same kind of art style in this game. And again, it's set in this sort of tropical, there's lots of stone temples and jungles and things. Mm-hmm. And you're this tribesman with a sword. There's a really interesting combat system, actually, where like when people surround you, you can mark three of them and a button appears above their head and it allows you to fight any one of them in a kind of Batman Arkham style, like, sort of flip between them.
Yeah.
Which for PS2 is actually pretty good.
That is good.
There's some cool combos and stuff. And you have this spirit animal, which is a bird, mm-hmm. and you can send him ahead of you to sit on certain perches, and then you get his eyes. It's like a...
Okay.
Again, it's like an Ubisoft
right.
sort of cut yeah. and paste thing, but from back in 2000 and something.
Your drone.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And he can go and collect things for you that you can't reach. It's a fun little game.
You enjoying it?
I'm enjoying it. I think like it's one of those that just... It was an oversaturated console, wasn't it, really? There were just so yeah. many games out all at the same time, constantly.
Yeah.
And don't think it went down particularly well, but... I think it's a nice art style, fun combat, like the bird thing. Mm. So if anyone is still playing their PS2,
yeah, I know I am.
Yeah, I wouldn't say no to having a go at that. Yeah,
the mark of
cry or cree?
Cree. That's what we're playing.
Yeah.
Let's move on to another question. This is from patron Will Baker.
What does Will Baker say, Ben?
Will Baker says, I know it's a bit far off, but as a massive Elder Scrolls fan, I have to ask, what are your predictions for The Elder Scrolls 6? Where would you like it to be set? Will they finally fix the combat? I can answer you now, no, they won't, because their engine does not allow for anything more advanced than what they've already got.
They don't change the engine, and therefore the combat will not be changed.
They just modify their existing engine, and that's part of the reason why they've had so many issues over the years,
yeah.
and will continue to do so.
The thing with the combat is, I don't mind the combat. I think the moment you compare it to anything else, like The Witcher, or even, as I say, Batman Arkham, you know, something like that, which is just very flee-flowing. It's very flee-flowing. You can flee and flow however you like. Mm. It immediately suddenly makes either Oblivion or Skyrim feel like you're wearing lead boots. Like, you just can't. You can't move, really. Mm. And you're just bashing away.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I did find it quite satisfying, just sort of lifting your shield at the right time. Yeah. I did a lot of shield bashing and stuff to try and, like, you can sort of stun your opponent slightly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all relative. The moment, as I say, the moment you look at the competition, the combat's bad. But
that's the thing. Like, you can't help but look at the competition.
No, I know.
The competition is doing it better.
Yeah,
at the moment.
They used to be, you know, on the throne, mm-hmm. and now they're really not.
They're not at all. And that's part of the... Yeah, the combat I have grown to really resent
right.
in The Elder Scrolls. Even in, like, it translates to Fallout games as well, if you want to use any melee weapons at all. Mm-hmm. You either do a very slow attack that yeah. can get interrupted, or you just go... You like
yeah,
try
whiff,
and,
whiff, whiff,
like
whiff.
You're painting them with a paintbrush.
That's
it's
true.
Just, it's stupid, and they don't react to it at all. Like... You just look at The Witcher and you think, this is way better. Yeah. And you can play the game in third person.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on.
There's
upstairs.
An actual circus above us right now featuring 11 elephants.
I think someone's hoovering at, what, 2 p.m. on a yeah. Friday? What are you doing?
We're doing a podcast. Hello?
What? Stop that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not stopping.
Predictions, though, for where it's going to be, where we would like it to be set. Something I've not played Elder Scrolls Online, and I know this has been sort of shown on ESO now, yeah. but I'd really like to see Elsewhere, or I don't know if they pronounce it slightly different, but it's spelled Elsewhere, which is where the Khajiit originate from. Because I always play Khajiit, because I quite like to generally have like a kind of thief build in my Elder Scrolls games, and that sounds fun. On the other hand, I don't know if I would want to see that for an entire game because it's mostly deserts, I think, which might be
right.
a bit boring after a while. Like, I thought Skyrim got pretty dull just being constant tundra, whereas, you know, at least in Oblivion, I think there was a lot more variety in the terrain.
Yeah.
So...
With your Khajiit, do you name it a suitably Khajiit name, or is it just called Peter? The Peter the Lion Boy?
No, it's never Peter the Lion Boy.
Okay.
Someone
go and make Peter the Lion Boy.
Yeah, and send
Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah, and send us a photo. No, I do some sort of fantasy name. It's always different every time. I don't know what you
mean. Right. But I always play Argonian because I think immunity to all diseases and breathing underwater and looking like a dragon seems,
and talking like this,
seems pretty cool. Yeah. And I do name it in the Argonian style.
Yeah.
I actually took my name for my Skyrim character on PS3 from the Elder Scrolls series of books. And he's called Mir Glim.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So that's a real person from Elder Scrolls history, is it?
It's a real Argonian.
I once, in Oblivion, while I was in the Thieves Guild, I made an enchanted item that increased my sneak or something like that. And I called it the Amulet of Amusai.
Okay.
Who is a man who doesn't get into the Thieves Guild because you beat him in the test, and he's an Argonian.
Oh.
But later on, he does make it into the Thieves
Guild. He does.
A little tribute to the man.
You did it to honor the great thief.
The one who I quashed.
So I thought maybe like... what's it called? Black Water? Black Marsh? Black Marsh Black is Marsh. Where the Argonians are from.
Sounds a bit depressing.
It does. Well, that's the thing. If we're going by the teaser announcement trailer, there's an awful lot of green, isn't there?
There is.
So I don't know if either of our predictions are true. But no. I think maybe I think it's time to maybe do one that perhaps borders on two different areas.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
And perhaps we could go to both.
Yeah.
So I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
To have different... I know Skyrim didn't really have different biomes, did they, really? It was just cold.
No, it was mostly cold. There was the occasional sort of forest. In the trailer that they released that everyone went absolutely mad for, there was this one clip where like the character was sneaking through this brown, like, autumnal forest, and the light was sort of... And the light was sort of shining down his shoulders.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, wow, that looks great. I don't think I even ever found a forest properly in Skyrim. There were lots of trees, but certainly not... They were all conifers, weren't they? They're all evergreen, needly trees that you would get in the Arctic. There was no sort of nice, lush, oak, woody forests.
Not a great deal of forest going on there. There's a bit by... what's it called? That place where we based that series of videos we did.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the place is called.
Riften.
Riften, has some forest near it. But
there's bits of forest.
I think it's time for truly diverse, perhaps. This is the opportunity to, if they were to redo their engine, which I really think they should, then they could include all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And that would be very exciting.
You can always get your snow wherever you are, because as long as you get high enough altitude, there's going to be snow. So snow's covered. Beaches and stuff are fine. You just need somewhere that's got some forest, some grassland, and then, you know, pop in either some marsh or some desert, and then you've got all sorts of things going
on. It's all inside this happy meal.
Yeah.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Delicious.
Today we're brought to you my book doubles.
My book. We're both doing that today. We're really tripping
just
over our...
mixing our syllables. I was doing it yesterday as well. I think I need to have a long sleep.
A really long sleep.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for that question. Peter, do you know what time it is?
Get your papers.
It's time
breaking.
It's weird news time.
It's weird news time.
It's the weird news time.
This just in. Some weird news.
Oh, Peter.
Yes.
Can I tell you about my weird news?
Please tell me the weirdest thing you've heard all week in the world of video gaming.
I've been sort of teasing you with this. I don't think you're aware of it yet. It's about THQ Nordic.
I had to dodge this. Yes, you know, you told me, try not to look up. If you see a headline about THQ, don't read it.
Don't read it.
I saw the letters THQ, I looked away.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. That means you get the genuine reaction.
Coming in fresh.
This is from PC Gamer.
Yeah.
link to the article in the description below.
Okay.
Once just Nordic Games, THQ Nordic acquired a large number of properties from the bankrupt THQ in 2013. This is just a brief history for you.
Okay.
It added THQ to its name in 2016 and since then has bought up many more game rights and studios, including Satisfactory developer Coffee Stain. Satisfactory is, I believe, the name of the game because it's capitalized.
Right. They're not just All
including Right. Including All Right developer Coffee Stain Studios and Wreckfest creator Bugbear Entertainment. One of its subsidiaries, Koch Media, runs Deep Silver. So,
Koch.
DHQ, God, just put me to bed.
Hello?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
THQ Nordic is doing extremely well. We can't go a podcast without talking about them.
Thank goodness everyone was at lunch, am I right? The building's been reduced to rubble.
Yeah, they all ran over to the Nordic office instead. This makes it highly surprising that earlier this week, THQ Nordic announced an AMA on its Twitter account.
Okay.
Unlike most Ask Me Anything sessions which take place on Reddit, this one was hosted on anonymous image board 8chan. If you're unfamiliar with 8chan, yes, 8chan is in 4chan, but probably twice as bad, maybe even more.
Oh, I think I've heard of this.
Here's a description. If you're unfamiliar with 8chan, Google once delisted it and warned users of suspected child abuse content. Mm. It has included boards dedicated to paedophilia and fascism and is known generally for racism, misogyny and coordinated harassment. As could have been predicted, response to the AMA was overwhelmingly negative everywhere except on 8chan itself.
Right.
So we also seem to be talking about the abuse of minors on most podcasts as well. And this also happens in a week where YouTube has banned comments on all videos of children.
Yeah.
I have no idea how that's enforceable.
It's mad.
Or practical in any way. Yeah. I appreciate the goal.
Oh, yeah, I see why. But yeah, that's fine.
It's pretty mad, isn't it?
Yeah, there's so much to talk about here. 8chan, I have heard of. I didn't know it was called 8chan.
Eight. But
Yeah, with an eight, number eight.
Oh, sorry, I thought, yep.
So apparently these are people who used to be on 4chan and decided that 4chan, which we all know to be
a
hive of scum and villainy, they decided that it became too, whatever the opposite of lawless is, lawful.
Yes.
Became too lawfully wedded. Mm-hmm. And they had to go and set up their own website where they were allowed to talk about things they thought they should be allowed to talk about. Like child pornography.
Yeah, and actual fascism.
So it's like the people that 4chan went, no, we don't want you around here.
Yeah.
You're weird and mean.
Too
and
bad
horrible.
For 4chan, these guys. So why the hell did such a big company think, yeah.
Even doing it on 4chan would be probably
it would
quite
be
negative.
A really terrible idea. THQ Nordic PR and marketing director Philip Brock said he didn't understand the history and the controversy of the site before agreeing to and participating in the AMA.
Okay.
However, the official THQ Nordic Twitter account promised, and this was before the AMA, that someone would take care of the nasty stuff. And it's unclear what nasty stuff THQ Nordic could have been referring to, if not the stuff the site is best known for.
Yeah.
So someone approached them, and they mentioned them by name in the tweet, saying, oh, so-and-so has approached us and promised us that they'll take care of all the nasty stuff. And it's like, what? It is just nasty stuff.
Yeah, what?
What are you hoping to achieve here, apart from lose your job and, like, drag the company into the mud?
Why
I don't
would you
understand.
Not just go to Reddit? Like, why not just go to r/THQ Nordic or r/everyone was at lunch or...
It gets worse.
How does it possibly get worse?
What makes Brock's apology even less believable is that he casually engaged with someone in the thread who posted a drawing depicting a man groping young-looking girls.
Okay.
The user asked where the lollies were, referring to Lollicon. And I had to look up the Wikipedia page for Lollicon, and it tells me that it's the Japanese discourse or media focusing on the attraction to young or prepubescent girls.
Right.
To which Brock responded, "You got them already, weird say." Additionally, in response to being asked not to censor any games nor appeal to the social justice crowd because the company is doing fine as it is, Brock said that THQ Nordic will try to stay that way. Why are you trying to appeal to the best interests of such awful people? I don't understand. These are not the people you want supporting you. That's like all the furor around the Klan, like supporting Trump and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, those aren't the people you want on your side.
No, don't try.
It's not what you want.
Yeah. The whole thing, if someone of that ilk comes to you and says, please don't make
you're
it.
You're doing good.
Yeah, please.
Keep it up.
Whatever they say, I would probably just do the opposite. They came to me and said, please don't make a game that is just a brown screen with nothing that happens the entire time, and it costs £90. I would rather do it and piss off someone from 8chan than that.
It's unbelievable.
Don't worry. Yeah, I won't appeal to SJWs.
Hey, you guys got it. We'll piss off the SJWs.
Lolly's DLC coming soon. Just the worst.
While it's possible to impersonate others on 8chan, apparently, which is mental anyway, which also makes it a bad place for an AMA, these posts are specially tagged to indicate that they came from Brock. The official THQ Nordic account also liked a tweet defending the AMA and calling those who had a problem with it sensitive Simons.
Sensitive Simons.
Sensitive Simons.
Sensitive Simons.
Consider me a proud sensitive Simon.
Oh, you got me. I'm a Cookie Carl over here.
Over on 8chan, Cookie Carl and his 8chan. I do not condone child pornography, white supremacy,
good to know,
or racism in any shape or form, Brock said on the same Twitter account. I am terribly sorry for the short-sightedness of my decision and promise to be far more vigorous in my assessment of these activities in the future. This was not about being edgy. This blew up, and I very much regret to have done it in the first place, he concluded. He still has his job. As of the recording of this podcast, which is a good 4 or 5 days after the AMA took place.
Right.
And there's rising sort of pressure and calls on THQ Nordic to do more than just apologize.
From Sensitive Simons and Wet
exactly,
Blanket Williams.
Exactly, some sincere Sensitive Simons.
Yeah.
That's absolutely bonkers that any company would do that, especially a video games company, especially such a big video games company. That's got to be mortifying for the people who work for it.
A small one might do it to try and maybe just get some headlines at least.
There are some game developers who are actual pieces of plop who I imagine would go to that sort of place. Yeah. But you don't do that if you're running a multi-million dollar company.
It's okay, we own 58 IPs now. Like, let's just go to the worst place on the dark net.
I am not a racist.
Yeah.
That's how you want to tweet, isn't it, from the PR manager of your company?
I don't condone child pornography. I know that my behavior recently makes it look like I condone child pornography, but I do not condone child pornography.
Yeah. Don't take this out of context
please,
either.
Oh my
don't,
God.
Don't you do that. Anyway, that's my weird news, Peter. What's your weird news?
This is from Kotaku.
Okay.
I think all of mine have been so far,
yeah,
actually.
You're a big Kotaku fan over
here. I think they're just really good at reporting, like, the weird stuff.
They're a great website.
They're a great weird news website. Popular horror game removed from Steam after Chinese players say it insults China.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about this?
Mm-mm.
Okay. It gets weird. I mean, it's not just it insults China because on the there's a splash screen that just says China is plops.
Boo China.
Boo China.
Yeah.
It's really strange. And there's a whole meme on this that I was completely unaware of. So,
okay.
Less than a week ago, developers of PT, PT-inspired horror game, Devotion, were riding high, says Kotaku.
Mm-hmm.
So it had been released on the 19th of February, and there were loads of positive reviews on Steam, and it was going well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, then the game seemed to not go down very well in China.
Right.
This was because the game is developed by a sort of a Taiwanese company, I believe. Mm. And allegedly, there's some in-game art that Chinese players came across that seemingly disparages China's president, Xi Jinping.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm pronouncing that
Winnie
correctly.
Winnie the Pooh.
It's XI. Yeah, Winnie the Pooh.
Uh-huh.
Do you know about this?
I know that he puts on a very good, or he's trying to put on a very good public PR face and be sort of compared to Winnie the Pooh, right? So he's like cuddly and very approachable and friendly, even though actually he's got some really horrible policies and covers a lot of shady stuff up.
Yeah, so there was a photo of him with Obama walking. I think they were on a golf course, probably a couple of years ago or something. Mm. And someone did a side-by-side of this photo, and it looked like Winnie the Pooh and Tigger walking along.
Or maybe he doesn't. I don't think he does like the... It's one of the two. He either wants his public opinion to be, oh, he's cuddly and nice, or that he really hates being compared to Winnie
the Pooh. He doesn't want people to compare it to him.
Right.
I think he might still be trying to put on publicly like a kind of good PR face. Like,
yes.
Oh, but really, like, they don't like it. Mm-hmm. You know, the Christopher Robin movie with Ewan McGregor got banned in China.
Did it?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Just because of that, because of Winnie the Pooh and Christopher Robin.
Right.
So apparently there was a scroll in-game that compared President Jinping to Winnie the Pooh, and that was next to the word moron.
Oh.
This from a company in Taiwan.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if you know the geopolitical situation in Taiwan.
I'm not familiar.
It's considered to be an extension of China by China.
Oh.
And most of the world's powerful nations, it says here, Kotaku.
Wow.
But it has its own elected government and identity. So there's sort of some weird tensions between China and Taiwan.
Okay.
So I guess it's a little bit... I don't know the full situation between Hong Kong and China, but I think it's getting to a similar kind of thing where Hong Kong is now independent, right, I believe.
I have no idea.
I think they're certainly cutting some apron strings there.
Right.
So there was... In response to all this stuff where mm-hmm. the Chinese were offended,
yeah.
There were review bombs
oh, good.
On the game, leaving Devotion with a dismal 40% positive review score on Steam. This is, you know, keep in mind that before this was sort of found out, it was doing really well.
Yeah, people were really liking it.
Yeah. So then it got really weird. So it turns out that this was some sort of placeholder art in the game,
right,
that wasn't removed in time,
okay,
or was accidentally left in.
So is that legitimately what happened, or is it an excuse?
Well, that's the statement that the developer has put out.
Okay.
When making the prototype, the team often referred to the then known internet meme as placeholder.
Right.
However, due to the version synchronizing problem, not all of the placeholders were deleted properly.
Okay.
This is purely an accident, and we have no intention for causing harm nor hatred. The art material has been taken down and replaced at the evening of February the 21st.
Hmm.
So
interesting.
I find that a difficult defense to accept, though, because what they're saying is, oh, we didn't mean to publish it in the game, but for our placeholder, we were using photos of Winnie the Pooh and the word moron next to the president of China.
That seems like a totally, you know, I could make that mistake.
Yeah.
It's so easy to make.
Whoops. We didn't mean to cause anyone any offense.
Yeah.
But we were using an image of Winnie the Pooh and the Chinese president.
This has happened before, though, where people have had to take stuff out of games.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Zelda.
Right.
Had one of the temples, I can't remember which Zelda, either the temples, I think it was some kind of chanting backing track they used was like very important, significant in a religious context,
yeah.
and that had to be removed. I think Little Big Planet also had something in there at some point. Again, it might have been another music track that sampled, I think, maybe either readings from the Quran or something along those lines.
It was something from Islam, I think.
It had to be taken out.
Zelda.
So it does happen. Yeah. Genuinely, sometimes people make these mistakes. You know?
Well, that's a mistake. That's someone not checking what this language that they don't speak mm-hmm. translates to.
Yeah.
But there's a difference, isn't there, between like, oh, I wonder what that means in English or in whatever language they speak in Taiwan.
Yeah.
But to just put moron next to a comparison of Winnie the Pooh and the president.
It's not a great look.
So since then, the game has just continually received review bombs, is a term that apparently exists, mm-hmm. and it's now on just 30% positive reviews.
Oh, no.
Which is, you know,
that's
it's a
shame.
Shame.
It's a shame that people can take advantage of it like that.
Yeah, the game has just been... I think it's really sad, actually, because... either this was just a genuine mistake on the part of the company as a whole, or maybe even some sneaky like art person on
just
the team
decided to have a
just
dig,
put it in, yeah. Mm. And you can see that the game was doing really well. Then the moment that this was discovered, it's now on 30% positive. It's just a shame. Like, you know, the money and the time that got spent on creating this, and now because of that one thing, it's all been wasted.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a shame.
So there you go, Winnie the Pooh.
Well, those were our weird news pieces for this week. Peter, we got another question here. This is from patron supporter Jonesy. What does Jonesy have to say?
Jonesy says, are there any TV shows or films / film franchises that you'd like to see made into a game?
Mm.
Or are there any that have been already that you wish had been better? I'm still waiting for a decent Doctor Who action-adventure style game.
I think about this a lot
when
I watch TV.
Okay.
Things that I think would just work really well as like some kind of... For me, in particular, I always, as a big Telltale fan, I always go for like an episodic style choose-your-own-adventure game.
Narrative heavy.
Exactly, yeah. Where maybe it's not too gameplay heavy, but there's a lot of QTEs and a lot of dialogue options and difficult decision-making. I think that just... That style of game lends itself to so many different things. And I watched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just managed to catch it because it's like it's so close to being out of cinemas. In fact, it is in most places at the moment. I managed to catch a screening because I didn't see it when it was first doing the rounds. And it's so good. And the art style is so incredible because it's not just animated in a traditional sense. It's almost got sort of a stop motion vibe
kind of
to it.
Jittery in a nice way.
Yeah. It's really comic booky and it's so gorgeous. And I just, while I was seeing it happen, I was just thinking, I would love to play this.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to be able to play out this film.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would work really well. Stranger Things was going to get a Telltale series,
right,
but that was cancelled. I think that would work incredibly well as some kind of game.
Yeah.
Outside, because lots of TV shows get a crappy mobile game now, but that's not what people want. Or some kind of VR experience. Spider-Man got a VR experience, and it's just like half an hour of you shooting balloons in first person with web. It's not a game. So I am very sad that Telltale died last year.
Right.
But hopefully more studios beyond the developers that are doing Life is Strange pop up and start making really competent choose your own adventure games, and hopefully they start getting licenses and start sort of filling in the shoes of Telltale a bit.
This is the thing. So it used to be maybe not even 5 years ago, like the narrative heavy game experience is relatively new. In terms of like being done in a competent way anyway. And so that's why any kind of film or TV adaptation, as a general rule, is going to be a bad video game. Because once upon a time, it had to be that you had to somehow fill it with either combat or puzzle action. Because you couldn't just tell an interesting narrative experience with dialogue trees and things, because we just weren't able to do it back in the day. So you look at something like, I mean, we got sent The Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, right? We got sent that. And you can imagine like what that is like. You get taught the combat probably very early on, and then they just shoehorn in a load of battles throughout the film, which is not how the film takes place. That's not what goes down. So now that we do have the technology to make these narrative experiences, it lends itself to so many other things that otherwise, you know, wouldn't have been able to be an engaging kind of experience once upon a time.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I would say. Do you know what I would actually I was thinking the other day how much I enjoyed the first two Harry Potter games on PS1.
Oh,
you know,
okay. I played the hell out of the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah, the Philosopher's Stone in particular. I only played a little bit of the Chamber of Secrets, but the Philosopher's Stone I played to death. And you look back at them. I mean, that Hagrid is a meme, isn't he? He's like, you know, I look like PS1 Hagrid, or I feel like PS1 Hagrid today. It looks really bad. They all look dreadful. They've not aged well. But I think being able to go right back to the beginning, there's potential there for like a 7 or 8 part video game series where there's some nice consistency across each game, which there wasn't in the originals, because I don't know if they were made by the same company every time, but they were certainly done in a completely different style.
Yeah.
The engine kept changing. But I think it would be fun to do like a full kind of 1 to 7 or 8 part episodic Harry Potter series with, you know, a huge open world Hogwarts to explore. Loads of dialogue and side quests and things.
Has that not recently been leaked?
Oh, yeah, there's that
The Harry Potter RPG.
So that's set pre-Harry.
Okay.
It's like a prequel time period. It might even be pre-James and Lily. I think it goes way back to, you know, maybe 50 or 100 years or something.
Okay. But
yeah, so as a setting, that does seem to be on the way, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
And yeah, like whether or not it was based around Harry or a new character, I think it's a cool world to explore.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, even just like nip into Diagon Alley or like, you know, King's Cross and things like that, there's room to expand as well out of Hogwarts. So, you know, yeah, if that game comes out, I'll have to look up. I don't even know if there's a working title for that because it was a leak, wasn't it?
But, yeah. No, that's a really good idea, though. Like, I don't know if there would be like a different game for each year you're at Hogwarts or something.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Certainly,
yeah.
Like, you know, committing to a seven part series right off the bat is hugely optimistic.
Yeah, but I don't mean you would sign a contract.
No, of course. But I just mean like that would be hugely exciting though to think, oh, okay, it's been 2 years since the last one. We're going to get Harry Potter or Hogwarts year two or whatever, and it's time to do other stuff. And yeah, that would be amazing. I could go for that.
Yeah,
I was kind of sad that the Game of Thrones game from a few years ago was bad.
Yeah,
because that could have been really good too.
I was thinking Game of Thrones.
That idea. The Walking Dead hasn't had a good game other than the Telltale ones. Mm-hmm. They've had two terrible games so far.
Right.
One of them we've got that we should play.
We have Survival Instinct,
yeah. Which I reviewed at the time, and it's just appalling.
Oh god.
And the other one is I can't remember what they're called, but it recently came out and was then cancelled for PS4 because it was so bad.
Oh no.
It's never getting a PS4 release. But anyway, that's a great question. There's so many. It's great to it used to be a thing of dread, didn't it, a few years ago, back when there was a movie tie-in for everything. And these tie-in and licensed games were, on the whole, really bad. Mm-hmm. And then with the death of THQ almost, and the sort of spiraling costs of developing a good game, like a big budget game, you know, one befitting a multi-million dollar film franchise, it sort of forced a lot of people out of the game and we don't get them anymore.
Yeah.
But things are sort of turning around a little bit. We've had a lot of licensed quite good games like Spider-Man. I know that wasn't based on a film, but like we haven't had a good Spider-Man game for a long time.
Yeah, like if you don't tie it into a specific movie, then you have slightly more free reign. Even if they use like actual characters. So if they if they pulled like the likenesses from the Marvel films, but just said, we're not going to make like verbatim the film, then yeah, you know, that does open things up.
Yeah, it does. I think I would welcome that personally. More big budget TV or film license tie-ins.
Yeah.
Especially if you get a good, decent, competent developer behind it as well, as with Insomniac doing the Spider-Man game.
Exactly.
Because they've got a pedigree. You know that they're going to make something good. And they did. So there we go. Peter?
Yes?
It's big discussion time.
The big question.
Oh my God. Pokemon.
Pikachu.
Sword and Shield. This was announced this week.
It was.
At the Pokemon Direct, part of Nintendo's Direct series they do that's so wonderful.
Apparently it was very brief, Pokemon Direct.
It's like
to other ones.
7 minutes, I think, thereabouts. You can watch the whole thing on YouTube. It's a good watch if you're a Pokemon fan. I'm now going to quote directly from wonderful Nintendo website, Nintendo Life.
Nintendo Life.
Revealed as part of Wednesday's Pokemon Direct, the highly anticipated Generation 8 game of the Pokemon series, of the Pokemon series, will be called Pokemon Sword and Shield. You'll be able to get your hands on them in late 2019. The games will take place in a brand new region called the Galar region, which is set to feature vast plains and craggy snow-covered mountains. Game Freak director Junichi Masuda said that the games will feature never-before-seen Pokemon and new adventures you've yet to experience. Also shown in the trailer were the new three starter Pokemon, Grookey, Scorbunny, and Sobble. I say Scorbunny
because it's the worst name ever.
I imagine it's pronounced Scorbunny.
Scorbunny.
Can you guess what kind of animal it is?
I like Sobble.
I think Sobble's great. I've put little descriptions of them there.
As a name, yeah. Well, I think Grookey and Sobble are interesting names.
Grookey sounds like some kind of slur.
It does a little bit. Or someone who hangs around with a band after the show.
A grookie.
Yeah, God. They come to the dressing room.
Yeah. Let's just let that hang for a minute. So the definition, there we go. The definitions that I've got here, grookie is a leaf monkey. Mm. Score bunny is a fire rabbit.
Brilliant.
And sobble is a sad puddle.
Oh.
That's what he looks like.
He's having a little sob. A little sobble.
But I like them. I like sobble, that's for sure. I'm not a huge fan of score bunny.
I just think it's the worst name ever. It's not a pun, is it?
No.
Because I guess they're going for scorch bunny.
Yes.
But I don't know why it's not like third degree Bernie.
Third degree Bernie. Yeah, why not? Third degree Bernie sounds like a member of a London gang.
Yeah, Bernie Rabbit or something like that. I don't know. Rab lit.
Oh, that's good. Dab.
Yeah. So many. Yeah. Score bunny. They've not even finished the word scorch. It doesn't sound like scorch. You only know they're going for scorch because it's a fire rabbit.
Yeah. And then the pronunciation is not obvious.
No.
Score bunny.
Score bunny.
Score bunny. Sounds like a place in Lancashire.
Yeah. It's just.
Scorbunny.
Scorbunny. Hey, welcome to Scorbunny.
Welcome to Scorbunny.
Have you seen the weird comparison with the Powerpuff Girls?
Yes, I have. So this has been heavily memed over the last few days.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons, one of them being that they look like the Powerpuff Girls.
They sort of share actual visual elements.
The colour schemes
together
are proper Powerpuff Girls. So a lot of people have been losing their mind because it's meant to be set in the UK, apparently, but there's actually no official confirmation of this at all.
That spread like absolute score bunny wildfire. And there's no, we don't know this. It just happens to be a long, thin island that's roughly Britain-shaped. I'm not saying I don't want it to be. That's an exciting prospect. But like,
Listen to how excited he is.
I'm just a little bit outraged that it's spread so much and people have got so excited about it. There's all sorts of art coming out of like, you know, British-based Pokemon and people doing Brexit jokes. Like, instead of Sword or Shield, it's like Leave or Remain.
Can't wait for it to release unless it's delayed.
Yeah. I hope we'll be able to import it into the country if we're no deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of jokes about the UK aspect. I don't know who started it, but I have made a few notes looking through the trailer.
Okay.
About things that could mean that it's based in the UK.
Right.
So it is a Long Island in the rough shape of the UK.
Vaguely.
It is kind of, it could be Madagascar, but we're choosing to believe it's the UK.
It's hillier at the top, like Scotland is hillier than England, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Some people were reporting that it's based in England. It's like, well, England's not shaped like that. The UK is shaped like that.
Yeah, England doesn't have a northern coast.
That's very strange. No, it doesn't. So apparently set in the UK, but no official confirmation of this. It's a Long Island in the rough shape of the UK. It's got idyllic countryside with lovely cottages, industrial cities, which sort of have big gears and cogs, sort of hark back to factories and things.
The 1700s when everyone had dropsy.
Everybody had dropsy. Love some dropsy. Mm. Football stadiums, etc. There also appears to be, in a brief shot, and I think this is the thing that makes me think that it's set
this
in the UK the most.
Actually, yeah.
There's a Pokemon version of the Uffington White Horse, which I only know because it's actually in Oxfordshire, which is where I'm from.
There are white horses. There's a few white horses in England.
Are there?
Yeah, there's several.
Oh, well, that one
there's
in particular.
One near me and one near you.
Oh, look at that. Maybe they're friends.
Yeah.
Not like us, though.
No.
We hate each other. We're just paid to be here. The one in Uffington is a near 3,000-year-old, 360-foot-long horse made up of chalk trenches.
Mm.
I found that very interesting and decided to include it. And I also found out that there's a hill adjacent to that hill called Dragon Hill. And there's a legend that that's where George killed the dragon, St. George.
I saw this on the Tony Robinson thing. There's a hole in the ground
Tony Robinson
where grass doesn't grow because that's where the blood of the dragon fell. Leaked out onto the grass.
Yeah. So that I just thought that was really fascinating. I don't know if there'll be anything made of that in the game, but I think they would be stupid if they didn't.
Well, maybe they should put like a dragonite bleeding out onto the grass.
Just a really unwell dragonite.
Sizzling.
I want to catch that one.
Yeah, the sick one.
You know you can get shiny Pokemon.
Yeah.
Can you just get a really unwell Pokemon?
Yeah.
Does that mean no one wants to hit it? So everyone just
it's worth less than the basic version of the card. There's the shiny ones that everyone wants. There's the normal ones. Then if you get like an unwell bleeding version of Pikachu, it's like, oh.
That just sounds like an urban legend, like a creepypasta that people would talk about on the playground, doesn't it? I've got like a dark fossil Team Rocket Charizard. Yeah, well, I've got hospitalized broken leg Blastoise.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
My brother's friend at the big school has a Blastoise that has no shell on it and it's all red raw underneath.
Oh, God. That does sound like one. That does sound like one.
Yeah.
So there are various things that we discovered in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge fan of the new generations of Pokemon, I must admit. I'm a Gen 1 boy.
Yeah, me too. I never really like the new ones.
I can abide Gen 2. I like Gold, Silver, and Crystal a lot. Mm-hmm. Basically just the Game Boy Pokemon games, really.
Okay.
So I like those guys as well. There seems to be sort of a mixture of multiple gens in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
The only Generation 1 Pokemon we see is Pikachu, as you would expect.
Little Pika boy.
He's the fella. The guy.
He's the detective coming soon to a cinema near you.
Brian Reynolds.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds.
It is built from the ground up for Switch. This is the first Pokemon main series entry to do that.
Yeah.
Obviously, we had Let's Go, Pikachu, and Eevee last year, but they were a remake.
That's not main series.
That's not Gen 8, is it?
That's not a new, true, brand new sequel.
No.
It's just got Eevee in it, who's looking at your mother. Very interested.
The random encounters are back as well. It appears that they have gone back on... in one sense, I'm happy that they're moving back to random encounters because that probably means that the catching mechanic has changed, because I did not like the catching mechanic in Let's Go.
Right.
Because that involved like throwing an actual Pokeball and it was almost impossible to be accurate with it. I hate it. Yeah. I really hate that.
But on the other hand, it is quite nice, surely, to... I like the idea of seeing Pokemon running around in the world and then you go over them to catch them, over to them to catch them, because it's realistic. We were talking about this on the way in this morning.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not like you're walking... Possibly in the long grass, you might not see something that you're walking. But if you're going through the street and then suddenly it just goes...
Whoa, hang on, what?
Oh, there's a Charizard right here.
Where was he? It's behind that pebble. See, that's the bit that I don't like, is because of them returning to random encounters, is because I really liked knowing which Pokemon I was going to bump into. It felt like it made sense.
Yeah.
Seeing the Pokemon that were there. They would stay there for like 20 seconds and then they would disappear and then a new... set that could spawn in that area would be randomly chosen.
Right.
And if you waited long enough or used like certain items, you could get like the rarest Pokemon in that area to pop up. And sometimes it would be genuinely amazing to run through an area you've been to before and just see a Pokemon you've never seen in that area or in the game before. Like, oh God, I've got to go and get that.
And it's helpful for one or the other. Like either if you're trying to just get from A to B, like, for, and you don't want to bump into a million Pidgeys on the way.
Love a Pidgey.
Or if you're grinding, you're trying to just like take out as many Pokemon as you can, just to get yourself going. And you know, then if you know where everything's going to be, you can go and speak to those boys and have a little fight. Whereas you know, you don't have to like walking back and forth between two grass tiles. You know, is the alternative.
Yeah.
Or wandering around looking for a Pokemon. It's just nice to see where something is.
Yeah, I much prefer it. I much prefer that way. So I'm kind of sad about that. But as long as the catching mechanic is back, that's all I care. Just because it didn't make any difference. All it did was insert throwing, doing that. And I hate that.
Yeah.
It doesn't increase your ability to do it doesn't increase your chance of catching them either. As long as you hit them with a ball, it's still the same random, No, it won't. You just wasted it.
For those listening on audio, Ben was just waving his arms.
I was just pretending to throw a Pokeball.
Like he's throwing a Pokeball.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that so much.
What do you think of are you excited to explore some new towns where maybe the music makes children in Japan kill themselves?
I love it. As long as it makes me kill myself, then that's all I can really hope for in a Pokemon game. I'm looking forward to it. I've got the Switch that I can play the Pokemon on. I like the Pokemon. I was sort of pleasantly surprised by Pokemon Sun and Moon,
right?
But that was the first one that I played all the way through since probably one of the ones on the original DS. And even then, that was like a real slog for me to get all the way through it. And Pokemon Let's Go was sort of a revelation for me just because of its presentation. It was just so much nicer to look at.
Very pretty.
And I think hopefully then that's the direction they'll continue to take the series, at least in some aspects.
Mm.
And so I'm looking forward to this game. Some people have said that the towns that they've showed off looked a little bit lacking, like they're not very populated.
Right.
But bearing in mind the game is presumably not finished yet.
Exactly.
And this is an announcement trailer. They're probably just showing off the environments rather than saying, look how many people we can fit on screen.
Exactly. Yeah. So...
yeah, the power of the Switch. We'll see how that pays off.
Mm, yeah, there have been some issues with the Switch. Oh, what game was it recently? They show... oh, Trials. You know the new Trials? Trials Pissing.
Sorry?
Trials
Pissing. Oh, yes. Yeah, because it looks...
the text.
It's meant to be rising.
Looks
but
a little bit like pissing.
The P is just bad.
Trials Pissing on the Switch, apparently, is at a massive visual downgrade compared to all the other platforms. Because
oh, really?
Of the, yeah. Mm. And I think... I don't know if they fixed it now, but temporarily, like on digital shop fronts... they were showing screenshots of sort of another build of the game, another platform, and then people were getting it on Switch and being like, why does it not look as good as how you're selling it?
Yeah.
So that's a little bit controversial.
That is naughty. They've done that before as well. But this is a bespoke game built
from
the ground up.
No, so that, I'm not saying that'll be an issue here, but it's just the power of the Switch in general is sometimes called into question.
Yeah, I think some developers just get lazy, don't they? Mm. And they try to, it happened with the WWE games as well.
Yeah.
Like they basically try to pull a fast one. I think it's more than powerful enough to make something very good looking, especially with that art style. So.
Well, I wish everyone the best with this Pokemon game that I will not be playing.
Thank you for talking to me about it, Peter. I appreciate it.
And I'm not really not much of a Pokemon game boy. No. Or not a Game Boy game boy. I played Pokemon on N64. I played Pokemon Snap.
Yeah.
Enjoyed that. Bit of Pokemon Stadium. But the Game Boy games, I'm not much of a Pokemon game boy. Yeah.
So were you a fan of the TV show in the 90s?
Yeah, I had the cards, watched the TV show.
The pajamas?
Watched the film. Didn't have the pajamas.
Did you ever get the cereal? The Pikachu breakfast cereal?
No, I didn't.
Because that was the closest we came to having, what's it called? What's the American cereal called?
The marshmallow one.
Yeah, the marshmallow. Is it Lucky Charms? Yeah, it's Lucky Charms. I'm thinking Fruit Loops. Fruit Loops are disgusting. I don't like Fruit Loops. Lucky Charms, though. We had the Pikachu limited edition cereal over here. It was the closest we ever came to Lucky Charms. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was really good. I remember it being amazing, and I only had it once, and I'm sad about it.
Oh.
You can still buy it online, I think, from certain people who've hoarded them because they're collectibles.
Oh, it'll be all soggy, though.
Probably.
I suppose you're not supposed to eat it.
Well, if it's all sealed, there's so much sugar in it, it'll probably be all right,
maybe,
actually.
Yeah.
Probably be okay. It might be a bit dusty in there.
In Fallout, when you get the sugar bombs.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Like
you'll be all right.
100 years old. It's okay.
Let us know what you think of the new Pokemon game in the comments below, or tweet us, if you fancy, at Team Triple Jump. Peter, where else can they find us across the internet place?
You can find us almost everywhere at @TeamTripleJump. That's on YouTube, on the Twitches, on Twitter, as you say, just now, Fallout Facebook.
Yeah, on Fallout.com
/Fallout4/TeamTripleJump.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. We have all sorts of tiers where you can see Worst Games Ever early, and you can get various bits of, you can get an exclusive t-shirt and stuff. We've got Discord. If you want to go to the Discord, that's bit.ly/TeamTripleJump.
Woo!
And we also have a website, which is triplej.mup. That's ju.mp.
Now taking submissions for freelance video editors.
Video editors.
So please go on there if you want to find out more information about that.
Yeah.
And there's also a shop where you can buy mugs and other such things.
Cushions.
Lists, Peter.
Mm.
They come out every Tuesday and Thursday on the channel. Streams are every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. We've had a couple of questions about watching the VODs and how people can best support us. We would honestly prefer you watch the VODs if you're going to watch them on YouTube.
Yep.
They get uploaded a couple of days after. If you can wait for that, then that'd be excellent. Some of you may have noticed, in fact, we got a couple of tweets so far, because we've become affiliate.
Yeah.
We've now been able to tick a box that means that only subs, people who subscribe to us on Twitch, are able to watch the VODs after they've aired. That's purely because we'd much rather you watch it on YouTube. We're not gating it away from you.
No.
You just have to wait a couple of days and it'll be on YouTube in its entirety for you to watch.
That's the policy throughout. You know, same with Patreon. Nothing's gated. It's just Worst Games Ever early. And likewise, if you want to see the VODs immediately, then subscribing is lovely and appreciated, but it'll be on YouTube soon.
It's not essential. Yeah, you'll be able to watch it on YouTube a couple of days later, and that's all there is to it. It's nothing insidious or we're going behind your back or anything like that.
Yeah.
Worst Games is fortnightly, and that's on Friday for patrons, as we said, and Sunday for everyone else. So next week, the time of the release of this podcast, will be a Worst Games Ever week.
Yes, it is.
And the podcast, of course, is every Saturday. And I believe that's all.
That's all.
Thank you very much for watching and listening. You okay then?
Yeah, I just did a little bash there on the table.
Hear this horrible squeaking, this stool is just giving me some issues today. Every single subtle movement I do.
I hear that.
Is really frustrating.
It's been a very distracted podcast today.
Hopefully it doesn't come through on the microphone.
I think it's been really disturbing and off-putting for everyone. Not just the squeaking, just the trains, the squeaking, me bashing the table. I think I hit my mic at one point.
We need to sleep, I think.
Yeah.
I think a good weekend of rest will hit them hard on Monday.
We'll put our syllables in the correct order.
Sibilals.
The correct orderer.
Please let us know what you think of everything we've spoken about today in the comments. Share it with your friends. Why not post this YouTube video, if you're watching on YouTube, to the official YouTube subreddit.
See
what they think. Or to 8chan.
We do not endorse 8chan.
Nothing to do with that. Thank you very much. Thank you for watching / listening. We will be back next week for another episode. Peter, help.
What? We'll be back next week for another episode. And thank you very much for watching. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Adios.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.